to see Dustin Yoder in the service this evening. It's been a rough year for people with breathing issues, and it's good to see him. Take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 8. We are in the book of Revelation. Just a reminder, Revelation is not here to satisfy your curiosity. Revelation was given to us so that, knowing the terror of the Lord, we might persuade men to do what? To flee the wrath to come. Revelation chapter 8 is the trumpet judgments. It started out with silence in heaven. It is the seventh seal. The trumpet judgments and the vial judgments are all part of the seal judgments. You have seven judgments, seven seal judgments, and then the seventh seal is opened, and it opens the seven trumpets. The seventh trumpet is open. It opens the seven vials. They are all part of the sixth seal. Now, many times people look at those and try to put them as different sets of judgments. They are all under that seventh seal. So just to help you understand that, a little bit of a nuance, but it'll help you to understand God's Word. We're in Revelation chapter 8. We're going to take the time to read the entire chapter. We're going to be looking at the fourth trumpet and following here this evening, focusing on verse 12. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And again, that silence is not to be made fun of. That silence is the horror of realizing what is about to be poured out upon the face of the earth. And I saw seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came up, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth, and there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees were burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it. The day shone not. Third part of the day is now dark. And the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound." And let's pray. Father, I pray this evening that you would help us to have a greater appreciation of your word, what is to come, and that we might not get sidetracked by the craziness of the day and age in which we live, but that we might exhibit a confidence in you, in your plan, in your word. And, Father, that we might rightly divide your word as truth. Help us to do it, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Just several things that are going on in our society right now by way of introduction. And I think it's important that we don't get caught up in the sensualization of what is going on in the world today. If you understand God's word and you understand God's plan, then you'll be able to rightly divide. From time to time, people send me videos to watch. And I'll tell you how the first thing I do before I ever watch a video is I want to know who produced it, who is the author. And you should do this. Before you watch a video, you want to know who it is. And then you should research their background. What is their background? Because that'll help you to understand their doctrine. And so today was not much different than any other day. I was asked to look at a video, and I tried to pull it up, tried to figure out who had produced this video. And I'll just tell you, for the life of me, I could not figure it out. And so then, you can't figure it out. I don't know what doctrinal place they're coming from. So I'm already... If you're trying to hide from your position, that just gives me great pause. And so it appears, because nowhere, and no name, no organization, nothing that I could find. There was a little bit of a tagline on there, but it went nowhere, went absolutely nowhere. So I'm going to watch the video. And on the video, first thing I noticed was that it preyed on men's fear. Preyed on fear. And the second thing I immediately noticed was that there were no scripture given, not any. Now, I know, because I'm familiar with the Bible enough, and many of you probably would have picked up on this, you would have said, oh, that's this passage, and that's that passage. And I knew what passages they were referring to, and I immediately knew that whoever produced this scripture had taken a scripture and pulled it out of context and was forcing its meaning on 2025, and it did not apply to 2025. It applied to the second half of the tribulation period. Now, I understand that. So now I've got a video that I don't know who produced it. I don't know what their background is. And I know that they've not quoted scripture. They have referenced it. I'm pretty familiar with the passage. And they have forced it on today, a meaning that does not apply to today. Because we're in the church age, the next thing that's going to happen is the trumpet's going to sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together and meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words, right? And then 7 years of tribulation are going to be poured out. And those who have, will people be saved? We talked about that in the book of Revelation. Yes, people will be saved during the tribulation period. But if I'm talking to somebody who says to me, I'm going to get saved during the tribulation period, I tell them, people will indeed be saved during the tribulation period, just not you. Just not you. And that always is a great attention getter. And conversation, well, sometimes it's a conversation starter, sometimes it's a conversation ender as well. But I'll throw that in there. Well, it's just important to rightly divide the word of truth, to know where you stand. Say, well, preacher, what about, we've got tornadoes coming out. What about the wars and rumors of war and the bombs we're dropping? Well, what about it? I mean, listen, I've said this before, I'll say it again, because, again, the video talked about, it tried to highlight on your fears. That's coming from Matthew chapter 24. I recognize that, and you should. And Matthew chapter 24 is the Jewish people that are going through the tribulation period. Not church, not people who've trusted Christ. Very clearly, Matthew 24 is in the tribulation period. And again, they had taken those verses out of context and forced everybody into this category that just didn't belong there. It just was not trustworthy. So I reached out one of my great electronic minds, and I said, there's this video, and I am having difficulty determining who is the producer of this video? Can you help me? And here's what my expert told me. The video was produced by artificial intelligence. So I don't know how prevalent that is, because I'm not a computer guy, and I don't really dabble in that stuff, and I don't have a 5-point test on how to tell whether it's true or not. I have a 5-point test on how I can tell whether it's biblical or not, but not who created it. I want a tagline, right? I just want to see it. Artificial intelligence. So you better, because there's just a lot of that out there in the day and age in which we live, people promoting it, you should start to adopt the preacher's philosophy of watching videos. If it doesn't have a name, not traceable, you can't do it, you should immediately become suspect that this is some computer that thinks it understands God's word that is trying to lead you astray. I mean, you should just should. A person, I'm not afraid. You go and listen to one of my messages, and you'll find who I am, where I pastor, where I am, where, you know, call me up, you find out where I went to school, what my doctrine is. It's just pretty much out there. Not afraid of that. But I think the computer is. The computer didn't graduate from school, didn't have knowledge, didn't get good grades, and really messed up scripture really bad. I just say, be careful, because you may be listening to the Antichrist. Who's programmed the computer, right? I'm just saying. Just be careful. Here's another thing that came up this week when it comes to Revelation. Because we're in the seal, seven seals, right? The seventh seal is open. That's where we are. In the seventh seal, there are the trumpets and the vial judgments. You want to do something interesting? Try to find somebody writing on the vial judgments. And you know what you'll find? That the critical text Bibles have taken over the vial judgments. They've changed them to bowls. It's not bowls. They're vials. When you take the vial judgments and you turn them into bowl judgments, you change the entire meaning of Scripture. I say, Pastor, what do you mean? Because the judgment, you think of a bowl, the purpose of the judgment is to pour out God's wrath. And it'd be a whole lot easier to pour out God's wrath from a bowl than it would be from a medicine vial. You think of a medicine vial. I don't know. Typically, we don't buy medicine by the gallon. Seems like they sell it by the, you know, something maybe a third. Wait a minute. They put it in a big box, right? And you open the box and you take out all the wrapping and there's something that's about this tall, about that thick, and about that wide that's got enough for two doses in it, right? And we would call that a medicine vial, a vial. What is the difference between a vial and a bowl? It's a legitimate question. Because the critical text Bibles, the NMA, the RSV, I think it was the RSV that introduced bowl, but now, again, it was just really mind-boggling to me to do a little computer search this week and say, talk to me, why a bowl, why not a vial? Why are we changing that? And nobody would say. Everybody. I'm talking the Catholics, the Presbyterians, the Lutherans, the Episcopalians, the Baptists that use the King James Bible are using critical text word, verbiage. Say, preacher, what's the big deal? Here's the big deal. The difference between a bowl and a vial is huge. And the intent of that is not pouring out. God's judgment is going to be poured out. But the reason a vial is used and not a bowl is because the emphasis is on the fact, just those judgments, the emphasis is on the fact that God's judgment being poured out upon earth is a vial. Say, preacher, you lost me. People accuse God of being unfair. tribulation period, people accuse God of being heavy-handed. We read the judgment and say, this is heavy-handed. And in those vile judgments, God wants you to know, this is just a little dose of my wrath. And that's all it is. It is a vial of God's wrath. Again, you turn it into a bowl, you have changed the whole meaning of that. Here's another one in the Critical Text Bible. I am way down a rabbit trail tonight. You should stop sending me videos. Get me all stirred up. Here's another one. Every time you hear somebody say bowl, you should understand their doctrine is not coming from King James Bible. Even if they're a King James preacher, their doctrine is coming from the critical text, which has changed the word and it changes the meaning. Here's another one. Very popular to hear people say that it is our job as Christians to make disciples of all men. It's not what your Bible says. Not what this Bible says. We're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Say, well, preacher, aren't we supposed to make disciples? No, we're supposed to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. God makes and calls disciples. I don't do that. But when you change that term, when you hear that, that is a term that is coming from a critical text Bible, and it changes the entire focus of what we're supposed to do as believers. It is not my job to make disciples. It is my job to be obedient. My job to preach the gospel to every creature. But when you change that term to make disciples, you change the whole purpose and I become... You want to know why people want a church of 10,000 people? 100,000 people? Because that pragmatism is how they measure their success. I do not measure my success here as a preacher by how many disciples gather here on Sunday morning. I measure my success as a preacher, as a Christian, by my obedience to God. When you change the word, you change the whole motivation of doing it. And so I've got preacher friends that will say to me, you guys go out knocking on doors on Saturday? Why do you do that? Because their goal is numbers, but my goal is obedience. Enough of that. Let's get into the text. So we're in verse 12. The fourth angel sounded. A third part of the sun is smitten. Third part of the moon. Third part of the stars. So a third part of them was darkened. The day shone not for a third part of it. You want to know what it feels like to be in the dark for a third part of the day? Talk to the people in Alaska. Now, it's not quite this bad as it is in Alaska and Michigan. But Michigan has a problem in the wintertime because the days are shorter. Wind blows across Lake Michigan and it makes clouds. And it's not unusual for weeks and weeks and weeks in Michigan, where I'm from, to not see the sun in the wintertime. And people are depressed. They call it seasonal depression. And I just say, you ain't seen nothing yet, like you're going to see during the tribulation period when it is dark for a third part of the day. At least now you can say, summer's coming. I'll tell you, in Michigan, from, I don't know, June 15th to August 15th, it's a beautiful place to be. But the rest of the time, you talk to Brother O after the service. He can tell you, they measure snow up where he went to school, like way up here. You look up over top and hope over the top, maybe you'd be able to see the sun at some point. You know, you feel like rats in a maze. That's what my uncle told me that lived in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And it's just depressing. It's just depressing. Here's the thing. This is not going to get over with in... Okay, so June 15th to August 15th, that might be, let's say May 15th to September 1st. It's a pretty place to be. After that, you're in snow. Before that, you could be in snow. Say, preacher, what's the latest you ever saw snow in Michigan? July 4th. That's crazy.
absolutely crazy.
But you can see the end. In 4 months, it's going to be okay.
And there's no end.
And you can at least say, with the seasonal changes, depending upon whether you're in Alaska or Canada or Michigan, you can at least say, this is seasonal, it's coming to an end. But when this falls out, men will go, they'll look at the calendar, and they'll look at the sky and say, this ain't right. And the news media, the weather forecasters, they've got to try to explain it away. There is no explanation. And people are going to see it. I mean, don't raise your hand. But how many of you watch the evening weather forecast and think you could be a meteorologist, right? Because they're just guessing. They're just guessing. Personally, I think God controls the weather. And I think God watches. This is not King James Bible, okay? This is preacher's opinion. I think God watches the evening weather forecast. What they say it's going to be 100% certainty tomorrow and changes it just for fun. Because that's what I would do if I were God, to show them that I was in control. Sunday, how many of you heard that in our area we were going to have severe tornadoes? Part of the storm went to the west, and part of the storm went to the east. And here in Washington, D.C., I think we got some rain about 11 o'clock at night, but that's all we saw. But there were people that skipped church Sunday night because they were certain that we were going to get plowed over by a tornado. Who told them that? The weather forecaster. Now you look at the weather forecast and say, they have no idea what they're talking about. This is going to fall out. They're going to be on the evening news, if you can get the evening news. And they're going to say, well, you know, we have a global warming, interesting weather phenomenon taking place, and we're not exactly sure why, but we believe that maybe... And people are going to say, they have no idea. Because they have no idea. What is being poured out? God's judgment. And a third part that is normally daylight is not going to be daylight anymore. It's going to be darkness. The disruption of light is a direct result of the rejection of the true light. John chapter 1, which lighteth every man which cometh into the world. John chapter 1 talks about that. It is a disruption judgment. It is a warning. Tribulation period is going to be far worse than anything anybody has ever experienced. The wars, the tornadoes that are on the news, that have been in the news, that are now on the artificial intelligence videos that are floating around the internet tonight, that's got all Christianity just in a tither, is what the preacher says. You think it's bad now. You ain't seen nothing yet. Because this is going to be far worse than anything. What? How bad? Verse number 1 of chapter 8, it caused all heaven to go. Silence for half an hour. We have a beautiful planet, don't we? We take it for granted. We breathe God there and we think evolution created it. We have beauty of the sea and we take that for granted, but the ships are going to be destroyed. The water is going to be fouled. We look at that last week. Mrs. Bishop and I, we like to hike, and we were hiking a trail, and something Mrs. Bishop saw. She said, oh, there's waterfalls. Let's go. And so we're up high, and we're hiking down to the falls. Now, I'm looking ahead, and I can see the last fall, and to get down to 119 or 20 feet, whatever it was, the stair going down was like this. And I looked at Mrs. Bishop, and I said, because we're not exactly spring chickens, in case you haven't been able to tell. I said to Mrs. Bishop, what goes down must come up. And you realize that if you walk down there, you've got to walk back up. And I can't carry you. I can't carry you. I don't know that I'm going to make it myself. She said, oh, it'll be okay. She did fine. She stopped every 8 stairs to catch her breath. But yeah, we both made it back up. And listen, absolutely gorgeous. We take that for granted, that it is here and is always going to be here. Revelation chapter 8 tells us it's not always going to be here and it's not always going to be beautiful. It's going to be fouled, fouled. Spiritual, what should we do when we see the AI video? Number one, don't watch it. Why? Because when you find out it's artificial intelligence, it's just going to make you mad. So just skip the mad part and don't watch it. Go read your Bible. Go read your Bible. It's pretty exciting. Yesterday in the news, what's going on? World War III. Pastor, does that make you upset? No, that doesn't make me upset at all. What did you do when you found out that we are going to be thrust into World War III? Really? You want to know? I said to Miss Bishop, we're going into World War III. She said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to the fridge. And I went to the refrigerator, and I poured a big, tall glass of vitamin D whole milk. Say, preacher, you didn't drink 2%. Listen, I drink it straight from the cow if that was an option rather than the vitamin D. So don't be talking to me about badness of vitamin D. And then I got out a piece of fruitcake. I got fruitcake for Christmas. I got fruitcake for my birthday in February. I am still eating fruitcake. And so I got a big tall glass of milk and a thing of fruitcake, and I went to bed and I slept really good last night. Why? We talk about in teachers' meeting, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Pastor, you're not afraid of World War III? I am not. You're not afraid of your house falling down? I am not. You're not afraid of going to jail? I am not. When they call me on the phone and they say, you need to pay $5,000 because we're coming to lock you up. You get those prank calls? I do. This is what I tell them when it comes on the phone. Can you come right now because I really need a vacation? And the last person I said that to said, what? I said, please come right now because I really need a break. And they said, never mind, God bless you. And they hung the phone up. Listen, the world doesn't know how to respond when you trust God. At what time I'm afraid, I will trust thee. What do we see in God's creation? Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day, night unto night, we see it every single day. God's marvelous goodness. Romans chapter 1, verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. But I trusted Christ. Preacher, what if they throw you into a fiery furnace? Mrs. Bishop's going to save a lot of money on funeral expenses. Sarah, you're not worried about that. I am not. I don't get caught up in the drama. I don't get caught up in the excitement. I'm just going to trust God. I've just decided I'm going to trust God. When my children see me, I want them to see me trusting God. When Mrs. Bishop walks in the room and says, what are we going to do? We're going to trust God. It's going to be okay. Let's get some milk and fruitcake. And she would say, never mind. Never mind. That is not, neither one of those things are on her agenda, on her favorite foods list. Who will we face? We'll face God, the Creator, the Judge. Who will be here? Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, verse 13 says, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. Who are the inhabitants of the world, of the earth? Those who have rejected Jesus Christ as their Savior. Everybody who is on the earth will have the same. Now, they'll have something in common. After the trumpet sounds, before the tribulation is poured out upon the earth, everybody who is left behind will have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Every single one. The Christ rejectors will be
here. The trumpets are sounding. God's wrath is pouring out. I will not be here. If you trusted Christ as your Savior, you will not be here. We'll be viewing this from heaven and be viewing it down. We'll not be here experiencing it. Revelation chapter 6, verse 17 says, "For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Nobody. Nobody will be able to stand. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The heavens beckon me from heaven's open door, and I just can't feel at home in this world anymore. We sing that. We sing that. But we should have that confidence in our God. Why? Not Psalm 97, verse 7, "For he is our God, we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand." And then the admonition, "If today ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart." Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts." Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15, "Wherefore, while it is said, today if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts." Hebrews chapter 4, verse 6, "Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not because of unbelief. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear my voice, harden not your hearts." Why? The next verse tells us, "For if Jesus hath given them rest, there would he not afterward have spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Of what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." You bow your heads and close your eyes. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. That finishes off chapter 8 this evening. But it's hard to preach in the book of Revelation or talk about those events without asking the question, are you here this evening and you don't know Jesus Christ? You don't have that confidence that you're a child of the King. If you don't, you've heard a gospel message, people will be saved during tribulation period, just not you. Just not you. But tonight, while it is today, the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart, and you know you've never trusted Christ. Say, "Preacher, pray for me. God is speaking to my heart and drawing me to himself tonight. I've never trusted Christ, but God is speaking to my heart. Would you pray for me?" Slip your hand up and hold it up. Let me remember you in prayer. Now, Father, thank you for your word, and pray that you would help us to be obedient, confident, trusting believers in the Lord our God, not being swayed about by every wind of doctrine, but standing true and standing bright and standing confidently upon your unchanging, infallible, inerrant word of our God. And we'll thank you for the confidence that you give us to trust in you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. If you have a prayer request,